This evening, if you have your Bibles, we'll turn with me to John's Gospel. And tonight we want to turn to John chapter 13, John chapter 12. And we see that this evening, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And tonight, we want to look at verses 12 through verse 22, or verse 21, rather, of chapter 12. Let's read those together. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees, and went forth to meet him, and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord." And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat upon thereon, as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt." These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised him from the dead and bare record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him." And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast, that came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Let's just bow in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening and help us to understand the circumstances that were going on and how they relate to even to us today and attitudes that often people would hold here. Lord, help us to have the right attitude and the right understanding of who you are and what your purposes are in coming the first time and what you shall come for the second. Lord, help us to honor and to glorify your name. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It was interesting, as we mentioned on Sunday afternoon, this was now in the fall of the year, in the spring of the year, rather, where earlier when Jesus had been celebrating the Feast of Lights or Hanukkah, which was right before this in the book of John, that would have been about the month of December, right now, just as we just celebrated, the Jews celebrated Hanukkah last month. And so we see that there's a space of time where John doesn't record what happens, but we jump ahead to the spring, and it would be the month of Nisan. And Nisan is when the nation of Israel would celebrate the Passover. The Passover was celebrated on Nisan 14. And it was to commemorate Moses' leading the nation of Israel out of captivity to the Egyptians and in away from there and ultimately to the Promised Land. And so that is what the Passover was based on. But also the whole Passover service and all that it symbolized as far as Israel's deliverance was really a type of what Jesus was going to be doing for us. Just as God had delivered the nation of Israel out from underneath the captivity of the Egyptians, and if you look at the Egyptian Empire, whenever you see them in the Scriptures, they're really a symbol of this world system, this world spirit. They are anti-God in their philosophy, and they worshipped idols, and they desired to keep God's people enslaved, much like the world does with Christians. The world desires to keep people enslaved because it's Satan's ground to control, as he is the one who, because of the sin of Adam, reigns in this world and has established this world spirit. And as he has this world spirit, it's a spirit that's anti-God, and so he comes against God's people. Jesus came to deliver us, just as God sent Moses to deliver the Israelites. And as Jesus comes, he's coming the first time, and he comes at the time of the Passover. And it had been foretold by the prophets that this is the time he would come. Daniel, in his prophecy, had said that there would be 62 weeks, and then there would be a time where the Messiah would appear, and then he would be cut off, but he would not be cut off for himself. In other words, he would be cut off for us. And that is why he would be put to death, not for his own sin, but for our sin, and to pay the penalty for it. And we see in the 70 weeks of Daniel, which he speaks of, that the time that Jesus would enter Jerusalem was right as it had been foretold. The text that we looked at this evening even has a verse that's taken from the book of Zechariah, where Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and John quotes that, where he says that Jesus had, verse 14, and Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as is written in verse 15, "Fear not, O daughter of Zion, for behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt." Now, the people, necessarily the majority of the people, weren't even thinking of that prophecy when Jesus entered the city of Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, his own disciples weren't thinking of that prophecy when he entered in Jerusalem. How do we know that? Because it tells us that in the text. It says they didn't even realize all of the things that were, had been prophesied about what was going on in this series of events until Jesus had been glorified. And when was he glorified? He was glorified after he'd been taken into captivity, after he had been beaten and tried by illegal trials, both by the Sanhedrin and the priests, the Sadducees and Pharisees, and also by the Roman government. All the trials were illegal that he would be exposed to. And all of them were mock trials in the sense that they were not just trials. They were trials where they convicted an innocent man, and they desired to put him to death. And it was after Jesus had been put to death, he was buried, taken down from the cross, and placed in the tomb. And then he rose again on the Sunday. And as he rose again from the dead, that is when he was glorified, and he later would ascend and sit at the right hand of the Father. It's at this point in time, after his resurrection, that the disciples realized all the prophecies and what they really had meant. Now, if the disciples didn't realize it, the majority of the people didn't realize it either. And as you look at them, the text gives us clues as to why they were doing what they were doing. Now, I want you to just take a look at, there's three groups of people here that are in the text this evening. First of all, we have the masses, the majority of the people that come together. And the scriptures would indicate that they're not necessarily believers in Christ as Messiah, but they do believe in him as king. And what gives them the belief that he is to be the king? Well, let's take a look at the text. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went forth to meet him, and carried and cried, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord." Well, they were looking at him as being the physical king of Israel. And what gave them the desire to anoint him as that king? Well, part of it was they were there for two reasons. One, they had come for the Passover. The Jews were to come to Jerusalem three times a year for the three major feasts, and they were all to come to Jerusalem, and they were, the Passover being one of those major feasts. And so they were there for the Passover. But there also had been much to do about what had happened in Bethany a short period of time before this, where Lazarus had been raised from the dead. And Lazarus had been walking around Bethany in Jerusalem since that time. And we saw on Sunday that Jesus had actually come to Bethany before he'd gone to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and had met with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, along with others, at their home to just have fellowship. And that's where Mary anointed Jesus with the spikenard oil ointment. And we see that Lazarus was sitting at the table with Jesus. And we also see that much people were interested to find out about Lazarus's resurrection and wanted to meet Jesus, the man who had raised Lazarus from the dead. We also know that this was a reason that they were there, as we go down to verse 19, when it says, or verse 18 rather, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle, and that miracle was that he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And also the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing, behold, the world is gone after him." And so they viewed all the people that were gathered and lining the street as Jesus entered Jerusalem and singing his praises and laying down the palm branches and crying Hosanna, were doing it because of his resurrection of Lazarus. We saw on Sunday that they knew that this was going to be a problem, and they sought to put Lazarus to death so that they could solve this problem and get the people to be silenced. But it wasn't working. And so the second group of people that I want to look at tonight just briefly is the Pharisees and those who are united with the Pharisees, because number one, the Word of God means nothing to them. Nothing's mentioned that they even looked at what the prophets had foretold about Jesus, about his entering into Jerusalem, and nothing was of a concern with Scripture in relation to Christ. They didn't look at it. They didn't want anything to do with it. The second thing you need to look at is they wanted to silence all those who were worshiping him, and they wanted them to not worship them. And they had plans on how to do it. One we saw was to put Lazarus to death. The other was to disenfranchise Jesus in the eyes of the people. And they had tried to do that on numerous occasions. We studied in the book of John where they had attempted to trick him. They had attempted to get him to say things that would cause the people to turn against him. They attempted to put him in situations where he would come against what he said he stood for. And so they were constantly trying to discredit and disingenuize the message of Christ and who he was. And so we see that that's the second group. The third group that I want you to also see are the true believers. But the true believers don't even understand the significance of the moment and the hour. Even though they believe that Jesus is the Messiah, they're not looking at him as the physical king of Israel that God has sent to overthrow the Roman Empire, but rather they are truly understanding he's the Messiah. His own disciples have made that statement on more than one occasion, that they acknowledge he's Messiah. And there are others that believe that. I believe that Mary and Martha and Lazarus believe he's the Messiah. I believe that there were others that were followers of his that believed he was the Messiah. But they did not understand the significance of the moment. Now, how do we know that none of these people in these three different groups, those who looked at Jesus coming as a political solution to the Roman problem, those who looked at Jesus as a threat to the religious establishment, and those that were his true followers, none of them really understood what Jesus was about and what he was about to do. If you turn back with me to Luke's Gospel, if you turn to chapter 19, and in chapter 19, in verse 40. Let's pick it up and see exactly, read from Luke's Gospel, the same account. Let's begin at verse 34. Verse 35, rather. And they brought him to Jesus, that is, they brought the colt to Jesus, the donkey's colt, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as they went, they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now, to at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And if you would go to Israel today, you can understand where Jesus was coming. He was coming down from the Mount of Olives. He was going in to the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem to enter into Jerusalem and to go into the old city, saying, "Blessed is be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." So this gives us a picture of what we didn't see in John, where we see the Pharisees saying that their plan wasn't working. And part of their plan was to get Jesus to rebuke the people for praising him and calling out, saying Hosanna to the Son of David, and also calling out and saying that he was the king that had come to deliver them. And so they wanted him to rebuke them. And Jesus' response in verse 40, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Why? Because this had been foretold by God and the prophets that as Jesus entered the city, that all of these events would be transpiring, even though the people did not fully understand. Now we're going to see how we know the people did not fully understand what was being played out before them. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it." Now, as he's coming down the Mount of Olives and he's coming up through the Kidron Valley to the Eastern Gate and about to enter into the city of Jerusalem, he begins to weep. And he's weeping over the city. Why is he weeping over the city? Well, he tells us why. Saying, "If thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thee, but now they are hid from thine eyes." Well, what things is he talking about, and what things belong unto them? Well, who had the Messiah been promised to, and through what line was the Messiah coming? The nation of Israel had been made a nation by God. It wasn't, if you go to the list of all the nations of the world that are found in the book of Genesis, you will not find Israel there. And Israel isn't discovered as a nation until God calls them out of Egypt, and then he says that he made them a nation. They were not a nation that was created by men, but they were a nation created by God. What was the purpose of this nation? Well, God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that through their seed would come this Messiah that would bless the whole world. He said through to Abraham that through him the whole world would be blessed. What was he speaking of? He was speaking of Jesus coming in fulfillment of the promise that had been given to Abraham. But not only to Abraham, going all the way back to Adam at the Garden of Eden. And that Jesus would be the fulfillment of that promise of the one who would crush the serpent's head, who would deliver men from their sin, who would be the one that Abraham was looking for, and that Isaac was longing for, and that Jacob desired to see. And we see that this is Jesus. Now, the Messiah had come through the nation of Israel, but not only that, the prophets had been given to Israel. The Word of God had been given to Israel. All of these things were pointing to the Messiah. If you look at the Scriptures from Genesis all the way through Revelation, it is the story of Christ. It is the account of Jesus and how he deals with the world, how he deals with wickedness and sin and evil, how He calls people onto Himself, how He delivers people from their sin, and how He is going to establish His kingdom and His rule eternally. And so this is the account that is given to us in the Scriptures. Where were the Scriptures given, and who was the protector of the Scriptures? The country of Israel, the people of Israel, the Jewish people. And we see that they who were the protectors of the Scriptures, who were the ones that the Scripture had been given to, they who were the ones that the prophets had lived and foretold these events to, were now the ones that Jesus was coming to in fulfillment of all of that, and yet they didn't realize it. And Jesus was weeping over the city as He said, "This was your day. This was the day that I was coming. And you didn't even acknowledge and realize why I was coming or who I really was." As we said, the one group of people thought He was coming to overthrow the Roman government, to establish a political rule and establish a kingdom on earth where once again Israel would be the kingdom like it was under David and under Solomon, and that they would rule the Middle East and the world. That was not why Jesus came. He came to deliver men from their sin. He also came not to lift up religious establishments, but to come against religious establishments that sought to cause people to be caught up in trying to come to God in their own abilities to somehow fulfill a religious commitment instead of trusting in the deliverance of God that could only be found through Jesus Christ, His Son. And then He also was discouraged because His own disciples didn't know who He was. And none of them understood this moment, the great significance of this moment as He entered in. And why did He say that if He would tell these people to be silent, then the rocks and the stones would cry out? Because God had foretold that this moment would happen exactly at this time. Jesus was entering Jerusalem during the Passover. He was going to be put on the cross and hung on the tree on the Passover, which is the Thursday. And so the Sunday before that Thursday, which would be the 14th of Nisan, He would enter Jerusalem as it had been foretold. And as He entered Jerusalem, the people should have known. And He says, "For the days shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." And so Jesus is prophetically speaking to all those that are around Him about the events that are going to come. He has not come to deliver from the Romans, but rather the Romans will surround the city, and they're going to be on every side, and then what are they going to do? "And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." They did not know when the Messiah was coming, even though it had been foretold. They did not know its purpose in coming, and the result was they were looking for someone who could deliver them, but God was going to allow Rome to destroy them because they did not understand nor look for His visitation. Now, there's some very interesting correlations with what's happening today in the second coming of Christ. You have people that should know the fact that the Lord is coming to establish His kingdom again, but there's a series of events that will occur before that happens. One is the rapture, and He's coming to call His church home, and then that will set off the 70th week of Daniel, which we see that this was the beginning of the week right before there would be this pause, where it would be the time of the Gentiles, and then at the end of that would be the 70th week. The 70th week would be what we refer to as the great the tribulation in the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation, where God's wrath is poured out upon the world because of man's rebellion and rejection of Him. And we see that the sad thing is, much of the church is totally confused about the facts of the rapture and Jesus' second coming. They're thinking that some people that are Christians believe that we have to establish the kingdom of God and make everything righteous in this world before Jesus will return again. In other words, we have to prepare the world to accept Christ. And nowhere in Scripture does it say that. As a matter of fact, it says the exact opposite. It tells us that things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And then Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 24, where he's talking to his disciples about what will the events be like before he returns to establish his kingdom on the earth. And he tells us it's going to get worse and worse. And not only that, he does tell us and reveal to us that he has his believers should be caught up to be with him. And the scriptures reveal that to us, both in the writings of Paul, and Jesus even refers to it in Matthew 24, and also it's revealed to us in the book of Revelation, that the church isn't here during the time of the tribulation. Well, that means they've been caught up, as Paul tells us in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and they've been raptured. But much of the church today isn't looking for the rapture. They're not looking for the Lord. Instead, they feel that we need to do this in our strength. Much as the people in Jerusalem were looking for someone who could save them from this world system and establish a godly world system, the people today think that somehow the answers are in politics and in this world system. It doesn't mean that we don't resist evil, but it also means that our trust and hope ultimately is not in changing the government of the world and changing all the wickedness that is here, because Jesus is going to come and rapture his church, and we're to be prepared for that. Well, as you look at this, as these people were not ready, much of the church today isn't looking for the right things. They were looking for the wrong king. They were looking for the king, a political king, and he had come to be a spiritual king. And if he wasn't the spiritual king, he wouldn't have a political nation to rule over. Because ultimately he would have to judge all men if he didn't come to redeem them first. And so we see that there's very similar things to the first coming of Christ and what will happen in the events that surround the second coming of Christ. Well, let's go back to Matthew's gospel and just take a little look into this in closing. And we see that there's some interesting things that begin to happen. And it says here that the people in verse 17, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead, bear record. In other words, they went and told other people of what had happened. And for this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. And so one of the things that they were looking for was his deliverance and ability to do these mighty miracles. And then, as we mentioned, you had the second group, the Pharisees, who desired to stop him. Just like much of the religious people today, those that are part of the religious establishment and they don't believe the Scripture, want the people not to believe in the second coming of Christ. Just like the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' first coming did not want the people to be looking for a Messiah. They wanted to anything but the Messiah. And we see that when they would actually take a criminal ahead of Jesus and call for him to be set free and Jesus to be crucified. And then also we see that the disciples were confused about what was all happening until it all had been culminated and they saw that Jesus truly was who he says he was and when he was rose from the dead. We're going to see in the weeks ahead when we study the crucifixion, there was much confusion amongst the disciples when Jesus was put to death. And there was much doubting that was going on then as far as what happened until Jesus rose again and revealed himself to them. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you just help us to understand that Just as there was three groups of people then, there's still three groups of people today. There are those who desire to silence anything about you and want to establish their own perception of deliverance and their own perception of belief that's apart from your word. There are also those that are looking for you to be the miracle worker who delivers us from the evil of this world, but allows us to establish your kingdom upon this earth. And then there are those that are the true believers. And Lord, help us to realize as we look back at the events of this occurrence, historical account, that Lord, just as you came in fulfillment of all the prophecies of the first time, including how you would enter Jerusalem on the back of a foal, of a donkey, you will fulfill everything that's been prophesied about your second coming, including the rapture, and that the 70th week of Daniel can't begin until that occurs. Lord, help us as believers to have a proper perspective of the coming events and to long for the day that we can be reunited with you through the rapture, be taken to heaven for the marriage supper of the Lamb and the Bema seat of Christ. And Lord, help us to long for the day that we shall return with you when you come to this world and set your foot upon the Mount of Olives once again. And it shall be separated, and you shall establish your kingdom to rule and reign for a million years. And you are the one that shall ultimately rule with justice and righteousness. Lord, now we pray that you just help us to understand these things and apply them to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to hymn number 492. 492.